Babe Ruth said, "You just can't beat a person who never gives up." Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. The never giving up spirit is what the writer of Hebrews wanted to instill in his readers. After believing the gospel and the glorious experience of the new birth comes Tuesday, and then a lot of Tuesdays. And the Christian experience may feel sometimes like grinding it out. But the devil can't beat us if we don't give up.
Last night, I was picking up some leaves or dead branches that had blown down the front of the house and headed back toward the house. And Tricine came out the garage. She said, "Oh, Jim, come. I want you to help this bird. A bird's stuck on the feeder on our back porch." And I thought, So I got my gloves and went around. And sure enough, there was a little bird that was hanging by its this toe. That toe right there, it had somehow gotten its toe in one of those cracks that widened the bottom of the corn is held in place, kept from flowing over by these whatever you call them, they're metal. And in one of the many accidents that the squirrels cause to the feeder, that thing got bent, and so this bird had gotten caught. And we don't know how long it was there, but by the time I went out to it, it had given up the fight. It was just hanging there by that. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I went over to the bird and put my hand under the bird, and it didn't resist. There was nothing. And pushed it up a bit, and it didn't resist, didn't move. And I took the other finger and gently moved that finger up out of that crack. And the minute he felt, or she felt, or whatever it was felt, free, phew, away they went. And I'm telling you, I felt so good. I really did. I felt good. I felt good. And then I know how the bird felt. About 10 o'clock last night, we started watching the news. After about 20 minutes, I felt like that bird. Hanging upside down, hooked by the nail, and no place to go. The harder you beat, the more deeply it gets. Can you imagine another time in your life? I mean, fires, floods, polluted water. I mean, droughts. You name it. I mean, you can pick your disaster. And it was on last night. The first 20 minutes of that show. And then the report about the young man, you know, that his grandfather, I mean, wow. It's no wonder people can't sleep at night if that's the last thing you watch before you go to bed, because it's very traumatic. It's very real. Those are very real situations. And I thought of the words of Jesus there in Matthew. The disciples said, "Lord, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And he said, remember what he said? "You will see wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes." Remember? Now, I'm not sure it's any worse today than it ever was. It may simply be that we have better communication facilities, but I don't think so. I think the world is looking for some way to get out of its own distress. And the harder some try, the deeper the hole. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight knowing that you are the great God, our Heavenly Father, that you are, Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd who cares for the sheep, that you are with us. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, you will not forsake us, and goodness and mercy will follow us all our days. We're sure of that. You will at times make us to lie down, but you'll always put us in green pastures and always use that to restore our soul. That we can count on. But I pray tonight for those who have no good shepherd or who worship a God that either doesn't exist at all, is made up in their own imagination, or a God who is weak, like themselves, having his own problems, his own cares, his own lusts, unable to help others. I'm glad tonight that we have you. I'm glad, Father, that we can trust you. We would pray tonight for the many needs right here in this room, right now. Folks recovering from surgery, folks facing uncertain diagnosis, folks facing broken bones, all kinds of things. Right here in this room, we have friends, relatives, brothers, sisters, neighbors who are having those experiences. And I thank you that we do have a word of hope. We do have a word of encouragement. We can share with them the things that you tell us in your word and know, absolutely know for sure, that you'll be with them. We can lift our hearts to you and know that you will hear our prayers. And in a way that we will never understand this side of our perfect bodies and our perfect minds, you will respond to those requests so that not one prayer goes unanswered. Amazing. At the same time, you won't let us bestow our best intentions into the matrix of what you're doing in another's life. As you speak, as you seek, as you patiently probe to gain their attention and to draw them to you, the great physician. Thank you, Father, for giving us this magnificent world, as broken and as out of sync as it is. It's still your creation, and it's part of your redemptive plan. And you're not going to quit until you have redeemed it all and recreated all things new. We hold that as an anchor to our hearts, to our minds. We thank you, Father, for this portion of your word from the book of Hebrews, and what tremendous insights it's been for us to look beyond the skies into the one who went through the skies to the throne of the Creator himself and sat down to be the effective mediator and high priest of all that you want so deeply to share with us. For that's what the incarnation and Calvary and the resurrection and the ascension were all about. It's about you making ways for your grace to give to us what we do not deserve, and for your love to share with us things we can't even imagine. So we thank you tonight for this incredible thing we call grace. So guide our thoughts, lead us, help our understanding as we think our way through this incredible passage. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hebrews again, please. Yes. Chapter 10. And tonight we come to one of those passages in Hebrews that challenge our best thinking and that actually stir questions for which we don't have absolute answers. But we do have some answers. And above all that, we know that the one who wrote this has all the answers. And he's seeking through this passage to communicate important things to us tonight. Hebrews chapter 10. The application of all that the writer's been teaching us begins there at verse 19 with the word therefore. And the therefore focuses the attention of the reader on all this magnificent truth that we've been learning. And it basically says, appropriate, take advantage of that. get to know what blessings are there for us because of who Jesus is, where he is now, what it means that he's high priest, what will happen when he returns. All of those things, probe in. Don't just stand back and be wowed. Enter in. Participate. Partake of these blessed things. I'll never forget an illustration I read. I was a high school, probably 16, maybe 17 years old. And the story was of a young man who had left his mother and other members of his family in New York way, way back a long time ago and had traveled out to San Francisco. Mother became very, very, very poor, dire poverty. She found ways to pinch a penny here and to earn a quarter there. Her health gradually deteriorated, and she died. When the officials went into her apartment, they saw on the wall a certificate. It had been carefully framed, and she had obviously kept it clean, polished. They assumed that the name at the bottom of it was her son's name, and correctly so. And when they checked back, they discovered that the son had become very successful in San Francisco. He had been positioned during all of that gold business, all that transportation, all that stuff that was making the West Coast the place everybody wanted to be. And he had done extremely well. And he had sent his mother a private letter, a personal letter, which she had carefully put behind this certificate inside the frame. It was a certificate for $100,000. $100,000. A king's ransom in those days. The dear lady had no concept what was hanging on her wall. All that she knew was that that was something from her son, and it looked important. So she framed it and kept it there. The writer of Hebrews is saying, take that frame off the wall, open it up, take out this certificate and cash it in. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. But you don't have to, he says. Some won't want to do that. And we pick up that part of the conversation in verse 26. But, it says, verse 26, but in contrast to that picture, that encouragement to get into the inheritance and discover what's there and appropriate it, it's all yours in Christ Jesus, is part of the inheritance. He's already died, the will has already been probated, and you are one of the heirs. Get into it. But if we deliberately sin after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. If anyone disregards Moses' law, that would be the Old Covenant. If anyone disregards Moses' law, he dies without mercy based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, regarded as common? My translation says profane, it should be common. Regarded as common, the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Note, there are three aspects to describe the sin that is in the mind of the writer and being committed by these folks he's describing. Watch. For we know the one who has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, don't stop there. That's the problem. Most time we read these difficult passages in chunks. We preach 3 verses one Sunday, preach 6 verses another Sunday, preach 3 more verses another Sunday, and after 6 weeks, we finish the passage. Let's don't make that mistake. Verse 32, remember the earlier days when after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves had a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you need endurance, so that after you've done God's will, you may receive what was promised. For in a very little while, the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and obtain life. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. For by it, by faith, our ancestors were approved. And then that famous litany of heroes begins. Now, let's make some broad, clear applications of this passage. The writer is writing to Christians. Can't wiggle out of that one. And that's especially clear when we come to that passage there in verse 32. Remember the early days when after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. You were probably exposed to taunts and afflictions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the writer here is addressing a group of people who are believers and who are tested believers and who have exhibited Christ-like behavior in some very, very complex and extremely difficult situations. Like, I don't remember the last time I accepted with joy the confiscation of my possessions. Do you? Oh, that's all right, sir. Just take it away. Oh, while you're taking the stove, here, take the refrigerator too. Whatever's in it's yours. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So happy that you're taking my possessions. And you'll notice it's confiscated. That doesn't imply, that tells us clearly that the one taking the possessions or repossessing your possessions was not your friend. It was not a gift situation. This was something where you were being persecuted. Real, physical persecution. Down to earth. Tough situations. Where you, in your faith, were responding to something that was not pleasant at all. And not only were they responding with joy and patience, but it says that they actually were concerned about others. Did you see that part in there? You sympathized, verse 34, with the prisoners. You sympathized. You sympathize with folks that were going through the same thing you were going through, people that also found themselves unable to insist upon rights, demand justice. So these people are seasoned believers. So when we get to the business of unraveling how this all works out, don't forget that. These are not people who had a profession of faith that was shallow or that simply failed them. You know, professors and not possessors, we like many times to make that differentiation. That doesn't fit in this case. These people are believers. Note also The last phrase, it's in verse 36. You need salvation. Is that what it says?
Endurance.
Persistence. You need endurance. So that after you've done the will of God, implication is they had done the will of God in whatever set of circumstances life had brought them, so that having done the will of God, before what God promised those who do such things arrives, before that arrives, don't cave. Don't quit. Don't bail. You have need of endurance. That's the singular need that the author is exposing. What is endurance? Well, he tells us, doing the will of God, after you've done the will of God, being patient so that you might receive what was promised. It's the pause between execution, accomplishment, service, and reward. Here's what God promised to those who do these things, behave this way. And there's this lapse of time between the two, and during that time, the author is saying, you need to be persevering. Don't what? Well, look at it there in verse 39. We are not those who draw back, see, and are destroyed. That's not characteristic of you. We, you, believers who are receiving this, and me, the writer, we are not going to identify ourselves with those who draw back, those who step back, those who not only vacillate, but do worse, throw in the towel. But we are those who have faith. And that becomes the cornerstone then for this next two chapters. Faith. What does faith look like? How does faith behave? Sometimes we have a very shallow view of faith. Faith isn't just blind trust. That's not faith. That can be called speculation. Faith is a different quality than just blind trust.
We love to read Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, we call it. But that chapter isn't the focal point of the book. All the men and women named there are just examples of the kind of faith the author is talking about here in chapter 10, a gritty, persistent, stubborn faith. Pastor Jim has called this talk, You Need Endurance, and we heard part one today. The entire message is available on CD for your gift of $7 or more. Our newish Hebrews series, God's Ultimatum, Volume 2, consists of 20 CDs, yours together for an offering of $69 or more. I'm not embellishing, I'm stating the bare facts when I say that your gift to Right Start will bring light and encouragement to many people. Some listeners are led to lift us up in prayer, some to give financially. We need both kinds of support. Thanks for your kindness. If you'd like to join this effort, simply call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit our website, where you'll discover many helpful audio resources and more ways to communicate with us. It's rightstartradio.org. You can play radio programs and play or download complete sermons. If you hate it when you miss a show, you'll be free of that frustration forever if you'll follow the link to the Right Start podcast. Again, that's from our site, rightstartradio.org, and you won't receive any spam from us ever. rightstartradio.org. Or mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We'll read some challenging words from the book of Hebrews tomorrow. Please join us for part two of the sermon, You Need Endurance, on Wednesday's Right Start.